From the Land of Grand Hugh University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 30th day of August. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason coming to you today from the Farm Progress Show site near Decatur, where we're busily setting up for the three-day event starting tomorrow. We'll have more about the show as we make our way through the program. We'll talk today, of course, with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, about what happened in Chicago. Russ Higgins will join us from Extension to talk about the display that's on the south end of our tent. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. That with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics out of Chicago, Illinois. Oh, and Brian Stark will join us from the Andersons to discuss the cash grain situation on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today down 17 and three quarters of a cent. It settled at $5.40 and a quarter. December at 5.42 and three quarters, down 11. March 9.5 lower at $5.50 and three quarters. September beans 54.5 lower, 13.04 and three quarters. The settlement price November down 20 at 13.03 and a quarter. And the January futures at 13.09 and three quarters, down 17 and a half cents. Bean meal down $6.60. Bean oil $1.02 lower for the day. Soft red winter wheat 9 and three quarters lower at 7.08 and three quarters. Live cattle futures finished 80 cents lower in the lead. That's at 128.32 and a half. The feeder cattle for the day at 164 and a nickel, down 60 cents. And lean hogs were 57 and a half lower at $90.15. Kurt Kimmel is now here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in Chicago. It was an ugly day. Did it start that way overnight as well?
Oh, not really. That's, you know, everybody was well aware of the hurricane, and the overnight was actually a little higher. It did sell off somewhat as we went through the evening session, just on uncertainty. Whenever you have uncertainty, everyone seems to head to the sidelines, and when it rains, it poured. It definitely saw some aggressive selling. Not huge amount, but some fairly aggressive selling. You know, Friday we saw option expiration, so we lost a chunk of open interest in the September as the futures and the options matched up and one offset the other. So we quickly dropped open interest in the September soybeans down to 8,000 contracts, and same type of situation in the corn. So the September futures were kind of thinly traded, and they took the blunt of the blow. But the big thing is, it's 16-year anniversary on schedule here, Hurricane Katrina. And whenever you have a hurricane take a direct hit there in the Gulf, it kind of a lot of uncertainty there. The damage assessment's still going on. It's going to take a few days. It's going to slow export shipments. Export shipments today were fair, but the export shipments are going to come to a stop because of the marketing year. But we'll roll those into the new crop marketing year here as we go forward. Mainly power grid was down. There was a major power pole there that blew over, landed in the river, the way I understand it. And that actual spot there held during Hurricane Katrina, and they didn't think much about it. And that knocked a large percentage of the power out. And it's going to take a while to get it back up and going here. But the storm was slow moving. A lot of damage, particularly inland, particularly roofs and some of the standing crops maybe in some areas there. So it's just going to, it's one of those functions here where the market all ran to the door all at once and through here. The thing is as we go through here, we resume some normality. You got to remember that we're not in the middle of harvest. The bins are fairly well empty, so the trade's going to be able to find alternate routes for transportation. And also, too, with the harvest just starting up and through here, there's plenty of storage. And we also have the Pacific Northwest to handle some of this exports if need be. We did see a new sell to China. They continue to buy small lots in through here. They bought 256,000 tons of beans, so they continue to fly under the radar, and hopefully this lower move here will be a opportunity to buy some grain a little bit lower. Technically, kind of ugly. We traded higher last night. We traded above Friday's highs in the December corn and November beans. We moved below Friday's low, closed below there. So technicians are going to point out an outside down day. So it's going to be important for the market technically to come in here and try to find some support here on this break. I mentioned harvest. There's some areas we're going to start to see a little bit more activities go on. There were some March beans that supposedly have lost some leaves in through here. They'll be ideally maybe next week. And there's some early corn that was put in that's supposed to go here, you know, here fairly quickly. And, of course, I believe the plots there at the Farm Progress Show, Todd's going to be ready to go here this week also.
Yeah, it should go tomorrow for sure. And I'm going to guess, I haven't heard, though, that they've already done some. I know last week when I was here that they were thinking they'd get in. It's clearly, it won't be long now until we really get into harvest. Maybe a couple of weeks for things start to really pick up. Maybe three out for sure. I do have one other question related to Ida and Katrina. I know that about 3 days after Katrina came through, they had the ports open. It was one of the first things that took place. The grain export ports were up and running. Are we worried that that won't happen this time around, or is the expectation that, again, this will move quickly?
Well, so far, I think they're seeing minimal damage. I would think that's the case. They have disaster plans to keep this grain moving. It's a 24/7 business, and I've not heard any real structure damage as of yet. I'm sure we'll start to hear that over time, but this is not the first hurricane to go through there, so they've been pretty well prepared for it. We saw the same type of market reaction with Hurricane Katrina. In fact, there were some opportunities. The spreads between the Gulf and the upper Midwest and the cash bids, there were 60-70 cent opportunities in there for a day or two, but once everybody got calmed down, that shrank up and tightened up real quick like. So you got to give us a day or two, let it sort out. We still feel the market's in a sideways, wild trading range here. So we'll keep an eye on it here for the next day or two and see if we can't find some type of a little bit of a low here.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities. Oh boy, I sure hope you join us here at the Farm Progress Show tomorrow. If you do, you'll see a great show site and what I think is one of the best University of Illinois tents we've ever put together. Russ Higgins and Kendra Corson and a whole bunch of other folks are responsible in large part for making this thing really work. And Russ is here now. He's part of the commercial ag team from the northern part of the state with University of Illinois Extension. Russ, thank you so much. Can you take me through just a part of the tent? I'd like to hear about the extension side and what we've got going on.
Oh, absolutely, Todd. I'm so excited about everybody who stepped up, agreed to come and do presentations. A lot of these are hands-on presentations. It's really going to be so entertaining for those who take the time to stop at the University of Illinois 10. So we're here today, the day before the Farm Progress Show starts, and we're actually looking at the south end of the tent. And what we're actually seeing as we go clockwise, if you would envision with us, we're starting out with a display by Dr. Laura Christensen and her team. And it's a saturated buffer model, and it demonstrates in a wonderful fashion how we can actually prevent nitrogen and phosphorus from actually going into the waterways here in Illinois. It's going to be just an incredible visual. Right next to that, for those who like to be scouts, if you want to hone your skills on pigweed, we have a number of pigweed plants, all the way from seedlings all the way up to 5 and 6 foot plants. You need to know the difference between water hemp and Palmer, smooth, red rut. Come here. We'll give you those skills.
I don't know that I can do that. I've been out in the field enough with Aaron Hager and you folks. I might be able to pull it off, but it's really interesting because all the plants are here for people to look at, and the saturated buffer is just fantastic. Once that thing is up and running, the water's running through it and really showing you how it's able to manage water flow and slow it down. So in order to take those nutrients up, it's really cool. You get the pigweed, and then we get to the corner, and we're still with crops.
We are still with crops, and you know, as important as it is to understand the weeds, a lot of us depend upon pesticides to try to control those weeds, and we have Maria Turner here actually setting up her display as we talk today, and there's a great pesticide safety demonstration there, as well as lookalikes that we have. You know, sometimes we have farmers treating things they really don't need to, so we will get the chance to learn about some of those lookalikes. Then we moved to some animals, but small animals, ticks. We actually have a great demonstration on the ticks in Illinois. We have a great research project going on with Dr. Teresa Steckler looking at how ticks carry anaplasmosis. We are actually dragging some of the pastures here in Illinois. So if you want to learn more about why your cattle aren't performing quite the way you want to, please stop by.
Yeah, in fact, you may have heard me report with Teresa Steckler about anaplasmosis and the blood draw that she's been doing in concert with the Illinois Beef Association to see which herds are and are not infected with this particular disease. And it's really important that folks understand how that works. And so the beef cattle people should drop by and see us, and they'll see a whole bunch of other things. Keep working your way around. I think 4-H is up next.
4-H is right in the center. We certainly wouldn't want to leave that out. What an important part of Extension. Come and see the 4-H exhibit, especially if you are an alumni. We have a 4-H photo booth that's going to be in place. Come and get your picture taken. So we're so glad they joined us at this end of the tent. As we continue our way around, we move to crops of Illinois. And even though we always talk about corn and soybean, because they're so important to the state of Illinois, there's other things as well. We have some pumpkins that made it here as well, some horseradish. We also have in addition to that, we have Indian corn, some of the ornamentals that we have. We do have corn and soybean as well. And as we continue working our way around, really important is farm safety. And Dr. Issa Salah is here with his team. He has demonstrations on PTO safety and also grain entrapment. It's so important for other farmers as we get ready to start harvest and we fire up our machinery again, we start firing our bins, that we remember, you know, these very important rules to make sure that we're safe.
Yeah, so folks can drop by and see those just to remind themselves how dangerous a PTO is running an auger and how quickly, if you happen to be in flowing grain, I think it's 5 seconds or something thereabouts, that you can be entrapped. And we've got displays here to help folks understand how quickly that happens and how they can go about moving grain safely. And then we move into, well, some sick plants in the state of Illinois.
We really had hoped all our plants would have remained healthy all year long, but that wasn't quite the case, and especially in those areas that may have received a little more rain than others. We're going to have 4 microscopes set up here, and if you want to know what happened to some of your plants, why they lost their color, why you lost all that leaf tissue, hey, here's your chance. You'll actually get to look at the microscope, look at samples. You'll truly be a crop scout by the time you leave. And for those who want to walk out of here with an Illinois Crop Scout sticker, we'll take care of you for that.
The last couple of things up are involving Master Gardeners, I think.
There are a couple things involving Master Gardeners. We'd be so remiss because, Todd, we are standing right in the center of the display at this end of the tent. And there is a wonderful horticulture exhibit, and it includes a number of plants, and it's based on pollinators. Pollinators in different areas. Come and see what you can plant, regardless of what the location, the right plant selection for pollinators, and ways to really beautify your yard or your farm. In addition to that, there's going to be some information from the horticulture team and the Master Gardeners as well. A little bit of something for everybody.
You know, I don't know if they'll come out of the south end of the tent. I hope so, because I'm on the north end of the tent, Russ, and I'd like them to drop by. I'll be there all day long doing the radio programs. A whole lot of the brokers and a bunch of the folks that we just talked about will join me on something like a stage there. We'll talk throughout the day. Thank you so much for all the work you've done, and thank you for the time in Extension, too.
I am so looking forward to the next 3 days. I hope for those folks who come on out, I sure hope they stop by.
Indeed. That's Russ Higgins. He's with the Commercial Ag team. Stop by and see him, all the rest of the Commercial Ag Extension team, the folks from the University of Illinois campus as well, and myself Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday here at the Farm Progress Show. Well, let's take a look at the cash grain situation on this Monday afternoon. Brian Stark joins us from the Andersons. Thanks, Brian, for being with us. What has the market been up to for the day?
Market's under some pressure with the unknown from Hurricane Ida hitting the Gulf last night into today, and obviously taking out potentially or presenting some potential logistical challenges for exporters. And I think you're seeing that in some of the spread activity we've seen in the nearby spreads, SEP December corn, SEP November soybeans. I don't think a lot of fundamentals have changed in the market. We're still looking towards the crop progress ratings to see if the crop will take a small decline across the belt given the hot temperature we experienced last week, but most of today's trade action has been on the unknown and what logistics are going to look like in the Gulf in the coming week.
And basis locally reacting at all?
Basis is fairly quiet. I think there's a lack of bids at the Gulf. I think locally there's still some strong demand trying to bridge the gap in the next couple of weeks before harvest commences at the local corn truck processor. Bean basis has been soft the last couple of weeks. It seems like the end users got better bean coverage transitioning to new crop fall than he does on the corn side.
What are we seeing for soybeans today?
Soybeans, just about the same. I think same type of issue with logistics. I think obviously the market is anticipating an unchanged to a small decline in crop progress ratings, and really they're looking for the next round of demand to kind of prop things up here as we move forward.
Any advice as we go into the last couple of days of August for producers?
I think the biggest thing for the producer is to find an opportunity to take advantage of scaling up selling if your crop feels really good. Most producers in East Central Illinois feel pretty good about their crop, and we've been recommending getting up to that 40 to 50% level at these type of prices if they do feel that way. And I would encourage them to make some stair-step sales, even when the market has been softer in the last week. It feels like it's going to be a range-bound grinding lower market through harvest until we can quantify the exact crop size.
Hey, thank you, and I look forward to talking with you here in the Farm Progress Show, University of Illinois tent.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
That's Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons, joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Well, it's a busy Monday here at the Decatur Farm Progress Show site. We're setting up for tomorrow. Hope you can come and visit us in our tent. We're at the corner of 3rd and West Streets. If you'd like to drop by and see us, we'll be here all day long. Now, we're joined to take a look at the weather forecast to see how that's going to be, in part for Decatur and the rest of the country as well, by Mark Russo. He is at Everstream Analytics. Thank you so much, Mark, for being with us. I appreciate that.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start not in the Midwest or with Decatur, either one, but with the fires in the western part of the United States and California, and then we'll work our way across the country, please.
Yeah, the West continues to be very parched, especially in areas of California. Increased wildfire threats, as we've seen here late, and that trend looks to continue. Although we do note that some portions of Southern California will see a little bit of rain, actually due to some remnants of tropical moisture moving into the area. But outside of that, all in all, the extreme drought continues.
And then if you move into the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, what do you see?
Yeah, coming up here, still some additional rain activity, such as what we've seen over the past week, as the pattern has certainly turned more active across the Corn Belt, especially the what was previously the dry northwestern areas. And coming up this week, a storm system will produce some more widespread rains across that region, helping to at least benefit any late developing soybeans, but also could cause some early harvest delays as well.
As you make your way into Iowa, parts of Illinois, do things change very much? And then maybe I think Ida might have an impact on some of the southeastern portion of the Corn Belt.
Yeah, looking ahead here, as you get kind of in the middle of the central portion of the belt, things turn a little bit less active. And that's true across like eastern sections of Iowa into Illinois. Again, some rains here this week, but it does not look overly widespread or heavy. And then in the Ohio River Valley, that is the one part of the Midwest that will see some heavier rain activity. And that will be the next few days due to the remnants of Hurricane Ida moving through that area. But we're not expecting any kind of extreme flooding or heavy rainfall or extreme rainfall within the Ohio River Valley, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 inches of rain, but the higher totals look to stay outside of that zone.
Here in Decatur, it appears that Farm Progress Show's site will stay relatively dry for most of the week.
Yeah, certainly looks to be the case here. You can't rule out like a stray shower or storm, but anything looks very isolated and overall brief in nature.
And then tell me a little bit more about Ida and the impact it's having right now.
Well, Ida's main impacts, the destructive wind and serious flooding, is basically done in the Louisiana and Mississippi area. Well, flooding will still continue for an extended period of time, but now it's really a matter of assessing the severity of the damage, especially to crops within Louisiana and Mississippi and that southern part of the Delta region. The other impact is at the Port of New Orleans, obviously a key port here, vessel movement in the lower Mississippi River, that is halted right now. And the duration of this haltage will really come down to the severity of damage in around the port, which those assessments are being made right now, will continue. And, you know, severity of infrastructure issues and even power loss, that'll determine just, you know, how long the port and operations will be offline.
You know, logistics and ports are always important. That brings me to South America, Brazil and Argentina, both very, very low levels on some of the river system there. They've had a problem, particularly in some of the southern ports in Brazil and, of course, in Argentina. What do conditions feel like for you today there?
Yeah, the dryness still continues to be an item to closely watch, and we do not see any major improvement here coming up across Brazil or Argentina. Southern Brazil will be really the focus of rain activity for the next couple of weeks. That may cause a little bit of improvement, but it's going to take many weeks to even months to significantly replenish river water levels. And then from a soil moisture standpoint, as we begin to approach the new planting season coming up, you know, more rain is certainly needed. A timely start to the rainy season is needed in Brazil, and more like frontal system rains are needed in Argentina to replenish soil moisture reserves there.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Please join me tomorrow at the Farm Progress Show. We'll be in Decatur all day tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday for the show. We're right inside the gate. Walk in the gate, turn to your right, one block, and you're at the University of Illinois tent. I'll be easy to find there. Come and find me at the Farm Progress Show. You have a great afternoon. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.